The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
I love co-hosting shows here on Tony Curry Radio. And of course, we play all of our shows at least five times a week. And wherever you get your podcast, we're available on every major industry. We'll be on a brand new one coming up here in the next couple of months. We're super excited about that to allow even more people to enjoy our wonderful content here. And this is one of my favorite shows because he's a very good friend of mine. I get to work with people I love. Michael Coleman from the Montgomery Area Food Bank. They cover 35 counties in the state. Of course, he used to be with the Jimmy Hill Mission. He is an expert in the non-for-profit business and the business world. And we take your emails, and we got some to get into here. info@tonycurryradio.net. But he is Michael Coleman. It's called Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission, your mission, your mind. Michael, how you doing, brother?
I couldn't be better, brother. I'm incredibly busy. Hungry people out there, and we're trying to source food and get it in their hands and pay attention to all the business trends that are out there and try to figure out how we can learn from other people's mistakes. And I'm always open to that. So this is it's really helpful for me to be able to come on here and talk about some of these things. It helps me both do some research and identify where areas I can improve too. So I'm thankful for the show, thankful for you, and thankful for those who take the time to listen to it.
We love having you on, and you just kind of catapulted me into a first question off the top of my brain. You talked about keeping an eye on business trends and things like that. How do election years play into not only what you do with the Montgomery Food Bank, but also the non-for-profit businesses? Are there ways that you kind of lean Republican, Democrat? Does it really matter? And just talk about, and I know we've talked about this before because politics play a part in everything we do, unfortunately. Sure. But talk about what election years mean to you, because we're just 1 year removed.
Well, it's particularly important because I'm in the state capital in Montgomery. So there are a lot of politicians here, and especially when they're in session, they come around. So there's a lot of lobbying taken on that's going on. Of course, we come from a very conservative state. I think there's a super majority of Republicans in our legislature. So pretty much they can, get anything passed that they want to. Part of my issue, especially this time of year, is reaching out to representatives and advocating, because the farm bill only comes up once every 5 years. And when the farm, and so this is a farm year bill. And so everybody throughout the food banking is invested in this because it affects things like how much the USDA is going to supply over the next 5 years, SNAP benefits, and how that affects family members. That's all decided in that. So when you're dealing with hunger and food insecurity, and that's your world, something as big as the farm bill is really important. What I think's also important is, and I've learned this from people in the past as well. I've seen people who let their personal politics bleed over into what they're doing. And I just think that is a huge mistake because we need government support in the food banking world. And we need people to also understand the heart of these issues. And so I want to be able to have a voice, whether I'm dealing with a Democrat government or a Republican government, because I just want to inform and educate. Politicians cannot be, that's why they have such large staff sometimes, is the staff's job to be able to explain to them these issues because they're so complex. Unfortunately, sometimes people vote along party lines and not really what's in the best interest. And so what I try to represent is, look, of course, I have my own political thoughts. But when I'm on the ground and I'm seeing hungry children, or I'm seeing hungry seniors, and I want to talk about how can we remedy that. To me, that's not a political decision.
Yeah,
it is. And so I understand everything in our world becomes political. I understand that SNAP, was supposed to benefit people who were low income or couldn't make ends meet or whatever. But that becomes if you're anti-government, then you typically don't support or certainly don't support the increasing of it because you look at the waste in government. Look, and I'll be the first to stand up and go, is there waste in government programs? Absolutely. No doubt about it. But I can talk about a program over here and make it very, you know, I can make everything black and white. We should cut out waste. But then when I set the policy aside and then I'm looking a little child in the face and I'm going, okay, the result of me scrapping this program is this child has just had $250 of food supplement taken out of his, and he already doesn't have enough to eat. And I'm looking at that child and I'm like, no, put it back. Yeah. Because I'd rather accept the bad of the program than eliminate something like that because of who it hurts. And so, you know, I don't want to pretend, I mean, I don't want to say that that's a Republican position or a Democrat position. It's just what's on the ground. And then what I try to do is understand the political view of the representative and try to communicate in a way that just conveys what's going on in their community so that they can make the best decisions. Of course, what they decide is all outside of my control. But I really do, you can garner local support, but given that in the food banking world, because we have the USDA and all that that's responsible for feeding hungry people, at least to some degree, making sure food safety is a priority, all those things, government is involved. So if government's involved, you're going to have to deal with government officials.
I was going to say, unfortunately, there is deceit in every program we have. There's deceit in everything we do, period.
Absolutely,
whether it's a government program or not. By the way, SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. I know you've mentioned that the last couple of weeks, and we actually had an email saying what does SNAP mean? So now you know. Can we take one more email before we get into misaligned incentives? Because I love the topic you picked. And when you said it this morning, I was like, ooh, that sounds good. I had no clue what you were talking about. So I love incentives. I don't like misaligned incentives, but we'll get into that. Larry in Sulphur Springs, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, said, I heard you or some Mike show about college education, whether to go to college or not. If you have the money to go, is it crazy not to at least try college? He said, I'm not rich by any stretch, but I do have enough money to get my kid through a year or two. And he said, and if he only goes for a couple of years, what does that say to a prospective employer if he ends up not wanting to go anymore?
Well, that's a good point, but it always goes back to there's never a black and white in this situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think I voiced some of the advantages of going to college before you get fully invested in the workforce is you do get that social interaction. It does help you through the process while you're transitioning from adolescence into adulthood. You're going to experience more things rather than just being 18 years old and going directly into the workforce full time and, you know, taking on life at a little bit earlier stage. That gives you a little bit more room to learn about yourself, learn about your gifts and talents, where you want to be, your goals. That's why so many people come in and they make a, this is my major. And then they end up changing it because as they go on, they're like, oh, well, I thought it was this. And no, this is really more aligned with who I am. And that's a good process. Sometimes it's a needed process. But if you're looking at like, well, let me just go ahead and get a couple of years under his belt. I will tell you, in most jobs, some college is really, to me, doesn't carry much weight.
Okay.
I mean, pretty much you've got a college degree. And even if you're going to work, let's say in sales, they typically, you know, if you say, well, I've got a business degree in sales, that's going to carry more weight than if you say, well, I went to college. But if you came in and you had a dynamic personality and you had some experience or whatever, it used to be that a couple of years college might, you know, an associate's degree or even just, hey, I've been to college for a year, but I haven't really, it might boost you a little bit, but things are so competitive today. And the truth of the matter is, when you're looking for those technical things, like we talked about some of the trades, then college doesn't do you any good. Let me say this. Sometimes people don't know. And so sometimes a community college environment is a good place where you're not just sending them off to a four-year college and they don't really know what they want to do. And they throw away throw away your money. I guess this would be the case.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is value in that, but, what I'm trying to get people to reconsider is at one time it was the must have. And now there are so many opportunities that are cheap. and inexpensive, but can lead to very thriving business ownerships. You know, right now in the food bank, we have projects that come up all the time. And I'm calling the people like, okay, I need somebody to come lay concrete. I call up somebody, I need somebody to come do electrical. I call up somebody, hey, matter of fact, right now as we're speaking and recording this, I got somebody in the next room that had to come in because we're doing some redesign work and trying to put some special carpet down, and but they had to come in and lay. So there's always the need for those kind of skills, and now they're so valuable today. I mean, just try this. Call around to your local handyman. Try to find a local handyman that's not making 40, 50 bucks an hour.
No doubt.
And that you can get in, you know, 6 weeks. I mean, everybody I call to those shits, it's 40 bucks an hour. But I'm booked for the next 3 months. And I mean, so it all depends on what your goals and aspirations are. I will say that I'll just kind of throw this out, what I did personally with my daughters. And this is a little bit of a chase of rabbit, but when you talk about, is it money wasted? I felt like that I wanted both my daughters to go to college, but growing up through most of my adult life, my wife and I married so young, we just didn't have money to put away for school.
Yeah.
And so the deal I made with my daughters was, listen, when you go off to school, you're probably going to have to work some, but you're also going to have to, you know, you're probably going to have to rely on student loans, which so many people do. And that's a hot topic nowadays. But I told them, okay, here's what I'm willing to do. If you go to school and you don't goof off and you finish in 4 years, then when it comes time to repay your loans, I will do my best to either repay them or help you repay them. But they're going to be in your name,
yeah.
Which means if you go out there and goof off for three or four and it takes you 7 years to get through college, that's a debt you're taking on yourself. And so I put the onus back on them and just said, hey, if you're serious about it and you do well and you graduate on time, I'm going to be there to help you repay that. But if not, then you'll end up suffering the consequences of your decision to goof off. And it's worked out pretty well. I have helped them. They have done pretty well, and I've helped them pay off some of their schooling. Wasn't able to help them pay it all off. But those are just some ideas, just practical ideas. But the reality is nobody knows your situation and your child's situation. So you may make a decision that's completely different than another parent, but it's the right situation for you and your child, just like a different decision may be right for them and their child.
And I think that's really well said. And I think times have changed quite a bit since certainly I went to college. I went to Xavier in 84 through 86. I got 2 years. I called an associate's degree, but there was no better. It sounded better than saying 2 years that I left. But I ended up leaving college because I got a job offer in a field that I loved, and it served me well at the age of 57. We're still rolling here. But my father, you know, we lived in farmland up in Westchester, Ohio. My dad said, I want you to go to college, but you're going to pay your own way. And I had to pay my own car payment. He took care of my insurance and he took care of my books. And that was it. And my mom was, you know, she raised four kids, and I think it was like $8,000 a year. And I worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken. I worked three jobs, my sophomore, junior, and senior years in high school to save the money to go to college. The other thing is though, when you're spending your own money, you'll study more. I got news for you. You will study more than when daddy's flipping the bill. You can go join a fraternity and do your own thing. And I know every situation is different, but I think that's a great answer. Mission-minded here. Keep your mind, your mission, your mind. It's a great show we do every single week here with Michael Coleman. He's the CEO of the Montgomery Area Food Bank, MAFB.org. You can also find Michael on LinkedIn and converse with him any chance you get. All right, so misaligned incentives. I had to do a little research. Usually occurs in the absence of well-designed rules that control the rewards or penalties for participants. First of all, why did you choose this topic? Did something happen to you that this came to mind? And second of all, what does it mean to you, misaligned incentives?
Well, I will tell you, it's something I've spent a lot of time on, and I've gone into new organizations, you try to really. There's a formal aspect to this. Like if you're in sales and you say, okay, if you sell X amount of things, you're going to get a certain amount of commission. And the more you sell, the more commission you get. And, But I was doing some reading on it, and what you can find out across the organization, if you're not careful, is that you can create incentives that actually work against the good of your employees or the good of your organization. And just one example that it cited, and again, I'm not in the TikTok world or the Reddit world, but one of the things that you see is these companies all provide incentives for the people who can, you know, these influencers. And like some companies will encourage like number of followers. And I think that's where Reddit is. And so what that does is that incentivizes people to put provocative things. And I don't mean sexually provocative. I just mean things that get a lot of clicks, because what they do is they value, you know, they value followers. TikTok, not saying it's any better or any worse, that's not an evaluation, but they don't really pay much attention to the followers. I mean, that's not what they care about. They're more worried about the content and about the quality of that. And so, and about people engaging in their platform. And so it's a little bit different mindset, but every software company has these algorithms. And so you can incentivize people like that to come on board and do this outrageous comment and incentivize just more and more for people to filter that. And then you could actually, you're incentivating bad things sometimes to happen, because if I can do something that's really wild where it's dangerous or it's dangerous to other people, I'm going to get a lot of likes. And that's kind of, even though somebody doesn't work for Reddit, you know what I'm saying? It's that connection to where you're incentivizing something, but you as a company don't necessarily want bad things to happen, you know, amongst your Reddit followers. But it can happen inside of a company. I can incentivize sales and not pay any attention to the well-being and the balance of an employee. And you can provide incentives that where people just work and destroys their balance of their home life.
Yeah.
And you don't, and so you've just got things where you're driving people to do that, and you're ultimately creating harm through the incentives. So incentives in and of themselves are good things. They're supposed to motivate people, but you need to sometimes not get out of balance by doing that. And so I wasn't able to put it really in those words, but I had thought about those oftentimes when I come into organizations and I'm like, well, I mean, you know, it's interesting what's important to the organization and what they're willing to reward. It's not always financial incentives, but it's just interesting what each company values and what they elevate up as incentive driven. And sometimes it just doesn't match what you actually want to be about as a company.
You know, from a sales standpoint, I saw this in radio for years. You would have a budget, and then once you got to 100% of your budget, you were kind of done for the month, because you knew that if you went over that budget, the following year when they did budgets, they were going to raise your budget. So the better you did, the more they were going to raise your budget, to the point where you just couldn't even reach 100%, and then you're under the gun. And that's, I don't know. If you can go above 100%, you obviously don't want to have that big of a budget, but then you're making a percentage of whether it's direct or agency work, particularly in radio. And so I'd see these people that would get a huge buy at the beginning of January. They'd be done for January, and then they start working on February, March, and that's fine. But they never wanted to go 120, 125% because they knew that would be their new number for the following year. You talk about incentives. How important are incentives, period, to be having in a workplace? In the way we used to work, and again, I'm going back 20, 30 years when I used to work different jobs, I would work really, really hard, and then you'd get your hourly raise based on your performance. Is it better to have a person in a situation where there are no incentives and they work really hard and you reward them by giving them an end of the year raise, or is it better to have natural incentives on a daily basis as far as in your concern?
Well, I think it all depends on the person. Some people are like that. Some people need the attaboys, even if they're very small things. So, you know, there can be something like a company could just get, let's say, a Starbucks coffee card for $10. And you could give supervisors that. And it's like, hey, when you catch your employees doing something good, or they just deserve that extra attaboy.
Mm-hmm.
Just go slip that on their desk and say, hey, why don't you go take an hour off this morning and just go get you a coffee. And it's just to say thank you. And so what you're doing is you're obviously, it's not about the incentive. It's not about the amount of incentive. $10 is not going to change their world. But I cannot begin to tell you the number of people that have said, hey, you recognizing me, you taking the time to come to me and making a gesture, doesn't matter how small the gesture is, can be an incentive. And what that does is that makes them feel valued. And when people feel valued, they tend to not, it lessens the dissatisfaction or the other challenges in the workforce. And so if it's a good employee, you tend not to lose those employees. An employee like that feels valued, that knows, hey, I'm paying you everything I can pay you, it's probably not going to leave you for a company offering you $1,000 more because they're like, hey, I like this environment. I feel valued. I get it. Maybe I could make more somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just an overall satisfaction. I just want to touch on one more aspect of this that's a little bit is, and the article actually mentioned this and helped me kind of think this out a little bit, but sometimes companies weigh tangible metrics more than they do intangible. And so I'll just take that here to the food bank and kind of my mindset and kind of lay that out.
Okay.
So I have somebody that I have that's a director of strategic initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't necessarily come to the office every day, but I'm in communication with them and they're working on really big ideas but she can't send me a report every month that says, okay, here's what's changed. I mean, I know the relationship she's working on. She knows that these may not fully develop for 3 months, 6 months, a year.
Mm-hmm.
We have a long-term perspective on why we're going in these paths. And she's out there like plowing the field. She's way out here in advance while everybody else is internally looking at it. And so a lot of people don't know what she does.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what's she doing there? And I'm like, well, I can show you how many pounds of food that we put out this year. I can show you all these internal metrics that prove our success. But when you go over here, a lot of it's intangible. But that doesn't mean that I value that any less because she's doing exactly what I need her to do. And so, first of all, I want to communicate that value to her and make sure she understands it. And I just went through an evaluation season, so had just gone through that with her because I hired her away from a place that everything they did, they had to say, okay, here's what success looks like. And it was very black and white. And so when she came over here, she said, Michael, I feel like I can't show you, you know, I made this many widgets or I raised this much money. And I explained, and that's okay because I'm not, your metrics are more big picture. Like, you're plowing a new field. You're preparing something for next January. You're doing, and that all that's upfront work has to be done because you're thinking strategically. You're not thinking tactical. Thinkers are like, hey, tell me the process. I got to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yep.
Strategic thinkers are looking beyond that to a bigger picture of how do I bring all these players involved in this? And so you're not going to see the same kind of results. So I've been into situations to where you got somebody who can hammer out any task you give them and go complete it. Is there value in that? Absolutely, there's value. But I equally value the person who can think beyond and can operate in the now, but think into the future and understand the actions of what they're doing today and how it affects where we want to be next year. And that's just as value, sometimes if not more.
I know who exactly you're talking about. I love this so much. I do, because I know exactly what you're talking about, because as a radio station owner, I have 14 shows on this station, including yours. And a lot of people, and you're obviously in partnership with me, you spend money with me every month. and you realize the beauty and the advantages to not only getting on and talking about the Montgomery Food Bank, but also the branding that comes along with that and your ambassadorship that comes along with that. And your analogy is perfect when you say she's plowing the fields in front of everybody. You know, you're like, wow, I thought there were trees here. Well, guess who cut those trees down? It doesn't directly affect the bottom line, but that's in the long haul, in the big vision, in the foresight of what you're having by hiring this person, it does. In the intangible part, the branding part, and certainly the ambassadorship is super important. So I totally agree with you. She's out there. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, so yeah, and just to add on exactly what you're saying, a way that our listeners may be able to even better connect to, lots of times when you're out there and you're plowing the ground, you don't know whether something's going to work or not. And so you get up and you've got your whole operation right here and you're like, okay, let's all plow this ground together. And you plow it and you're like, you know what? This field's not worth planting on. This is not going to work. So you got to pull the whole company out of that field and put them in another field. So, okay, let's plow this ground. It's no telling the amount of lost productivity, the amount of lost revenue, of wasting time.
Yes.
Trying to figure out whether something's good or not. She's out a year ahead of everybody else, testing the soil, if you will, to see, is this good ground to plant on? So that when we get there, we already know because it's been tested, it's been plowed, it's ready to plant. Let's go. And so again, she doesn't have the results that she's come before me and say, oh, well, I created this or that, but it's still so incredibly valuable.
It sure is. Michael Coleman, Montgomery Food Bank. He's the CEO. He was formerly at the Jimmy Hill Mission. This is called Mission Minded. We do it every single week. You can hear it five times on the TKR app. Thanks to 100,000 folks plus who have downloaded our app and listened to our shows on all major platforms. You know, and it's funny because I had a pretty large business that I lost last year through a guy who was the CEO of a company, and I'm not going to mention who it is, but his boss was like, what is this check going out every month for? And he's like, I'm doing this thing on Tony Curry Radio. And we've gone from two listeners on our first show to over 2,000 every single week. And he said, okay, well, are we making any money on it? Yeah. And he said, no. He said, but you know, I'm branding us. I'm an ambassador for our business. I'm talking about our business, what we do. I'm dropping names of our clients and our other partnerships in because it's our airtime. And it got canceled. And the guy just, he's like, if it doesn't affect our bottom line, then it's wasted money. And it was unfortunate because it was one of our better shows, and hopefully we'll get that back. I got one quick email. We just got a couple minutes, and I know we're short on time here. Shirley and Dothan, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We get to all the emails as often as we can. Shirley wants to know, how important is it to have diversity in the workplace? She said, 20 years ago, it sounded really novel and important to have input from all walks of life. Now it sounds like no one can get along. Talk about, you know, we've talked about toxicity in the workplace. You know, depending on what your business is, there may be some legal ramifications on what type of diversification you must have in your workplace. But what's it like for you? We've talked about having too many men, too many women, too many African-Americans, too many whites, too many Asians, too many. How important is it for you to have full diversification in your business place? Because, and I'll use car commercials as an example. And I saw a Buick commercial this morning. There was a woman driving. There was a black man in the front seat. There was an Asian woman in the back seat. And there was a Latino back behind the driver's seat. I'm like, okay, they got it covered, man. They are trying to cover everybody. So how important is it?
Well, I think, you know, let's take away the expectations of a woke society for a second. Let's just deal with it in a real way. I think diversity is very positive, not because of what message you may be sending. I'm talking about brings real value. And from this way, I think racial disparity does show that, hey, you are mindful. You understand there's value and talent in all people. And I certainly believe that and get to experience it every day. But I'm also one that really values diversity of thought, and not so much diversity for the sake of skin color. Let me share with you what I mean by that. So let's say that I say, I want to make sure that I have equal number of white, blacks, Hispanics, Asian Americans, just everybody I can think of. And so we have all that diversity, but let's say we all think on the political left. So regardless of our skin color, we're all approaching the view from a very monolithic view, if you will. And so what I think is you do need that diversity of skin color. I think that's important, but really diversity of thought and experiences. So I think diversity in, I want some older people. I want some younger people because I want fresh ideas. I want the wisdom of older people who have learned experiences. I want women in there of all colors because a woman's perspective is oftentimes vastly different than a man's perspective, but I also value the man's perspective. So the diversity I'm talking about is that kind of diversity, and I think it's invaluable. You do not want to have an organization. They may be different skin colors, but if they're all talking from the same perspective, there's just not as much value in that as it is people young and old, black and white, male, female, wealthy backgrounds, poor backgrounds, and then you have all those players given those perspectives. That's where I think you hit the home run within the company. You're like, now, yeah, I have, it's a very well balanced, and then I can get the best decision depending on what, who I'm trying to serve and what I'm trying to accomplish with my business.
Great way to end the show. We have another email here from Tabitha in Phoenix City. We'll get to your email next week, Tabitha, so hang loose and continue to send those in. info@tonycurryradio.net. Great questions here. Michael, tell people how they can find you and how they can help you. I know we're getting into the summertime. It's right around the corner, and there's always a need to feed.
Yeah, you think about kids, just real quick. Think about kids who already wrestle with food insecurity. They go home at night, and lots of times those kids don't get a meal till they come back to school the next morning. And now those kids are going to be home for the whole summer. Mm-hmm. And there's some programs out there, but sometimes if they're living out in rural communities, they can't get access to it. And so we are doing everything we can to target those people. And so, look, you may be in a community that goes, well, look, I'm not interested in reaching out to Montgomery to help them. But I tell you what, if you don't do that, reach out to your local food bank and support them. Find out, call them and find out what they're doing for child hunger this summer and how you can help. And it could be volunteer, it could be, but just get involved in this because it is just critically needed. And COVID really taught us that. How many people are battling? Inflation's still high. A lot of people who've worked their whole lives just can't make ends meet right now and just need a little help. And you can be the difference in making a generational impact on families, seniors, and children. So just really want to encourage that. But if you want to reach out specifically to help what I'm doing, it's mafb.org for Montgomery Area Food Bank.org. You reach out on LinkedIn. Love to take the time. Be glad to help take the time to help you with any individual needs that you have or issues you're having with your company. And if I don't know it, I'll be the first to say, hey man, that's out of my expertise. And there's a lot of those, but I'll be honest with you. But if I can help any way, I'm glad to do so.
And by the way, if you're listening to the show, we're recording it here on May 11th, on May 13th. And I just saw the story this morning, the U.S. Postal Service is having a food drive this Saturday. You can drop in canned goods in your mailbox.
Right.
I'm not sure if Postal Service workers appreciate that so much.
It's a lot more work for them, but I would tell you, we're going to have totes at 9 different post offices here in Montgomery.
That's awesome.
And the mailmen get to choose whether they want to participate. They don't have to, but so many of them do choose. And so they bring it in, they put it in the tote, we bring it back here. We put it through all the food safety stuff, but then we get it right back out to families in need. So yes, thank you for mentioning that, Tom.
Super cool. Thank you, brother. Appreciate your piece. We'll catch up next week.
Enjoyed it as always.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.